Welcome to the Scam Economy with your host, Matt Bender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Scam Economy. It's been a little while since we've had an episode of this show. My name is Matt Binder, just in case this is your first time listening to Scam Economy. You might know me from my other shows, the various shows I'm on. But Scam Economy is back right here to talk about not crypto, but the other big tech hype bubble that I've been alluding to as, you know, was sort of going to be this major fixture probably of this show in the near future. Jeez, I don't know how many months ago. And here we are. Now, on this episode of the show, we are going to focus on what's been going on with OpenAI, which, if you're unfamiliar, they are the big AI company. They are the company that have cemented themselves as the what Google is to search, what Apple is to smartphones, what Microsoft is to PCs. OpenAI has managed to cement themselves as the AI company. And we're going to talk about this most recent event, I guess you can call it, this controversy, this drama that has unfolded in recent days over their new AI voice assistant and the actress Scarlett Johansson. I mean, if this sounds a little bit wild to you, just, you know, on its face, it is pretty crazy. It is pretty wild. It is pretty out there that this is actually a thing, that this major tech company went ahead and did this, and everyone called them out for it, and they tried to, I mean, I guess it's not that shocking, right? We have been taught, not to backtrack on what I was saying, this is sort of like a free-flowing, monologue as thoughts are popping in my mind. But this is sort of what we've seen, right, from all these tech companies for decades now. The whole ship fast, break stuff sort of model that we've been seeing from the tech industry for decades now. Only, you know, when it comes to things like crypto, when people are investing their hard-earned money on your promises, or AI, where people are being promised things and people are losing their jobs because of those promises made to people who are who employ them. We're seeing some real world damage. Now, you know, it's funny that I mentioned crypto up top, because as I've also brought up in previous episodes of this show, OpenAI's founder and CEO, Sam Altman, who we'll be talking about a lot in this episode. But just to get this out of the way, because, you know, Scam Economy is known for being the show that's bread and butter is crypto criticism. Sam Altman is sort of like a sketchy guy for a variety of reasons, and we'll get into the AI reasons. But he also runs a crypto project called WorldCoin. And I've had episodes on this, and you should go back and listen to previous episodes of Scam Economy. But we've talked about this, and Sam Altman's WorldCoin crypto project is still growing. Last time I saw, I believe just last month, they announced they were going to roll out their own blockchain. But what this WorldCoin project is doing is, it literally, the whole premise of it is that they have this like orb or sphere, and they bring it around the world, and they tell people, just everyday ordinary people all over the world, a lot of people in, you know, developing nations where you know, this promise is very it's sort of a good offer for them, I guess you can say. It lures them in. They bring this orb around, and they will give you their crypto token, WorldCoin, in exchange for you letting the company scan your eyeballs with this orb. You know, take your biometric data. Freaky, isn't it? Just recently, actually, Hong Kong told WorldCoin to cease their operations in Hong Kong, because they claim that WorldCoin breaches their privacy laws. We'll get deeper into WorldCoin. We'll come back to WorldCoin again. But again, go back into the Scam Economy archives. Check out our WorldCoin episode. Probably episodes. We definitely did one full-blown WorldCoin episode about how they were sort of taking advantage of people in developing nations. But we definitely brought it up in probably numerous episodes. But that's Sam Altman for you. And so what is he up to now? Well, most people know Sam Altman as the CEO of OpenAI, and people are probably most familiar with him regarding the drama that happened, you know, late last year, early this year, around basically Sam Altman being pushed out of the company by OpenAI's board of directors, and then a number of the employees basically said, "We're walking if you don't bring Altman back." There's all this drama. It's still unclear exactly what the board forced Altman out for is. Like, it's never really been shared. The discussion around it has basically been that other OpenAI executives who work closely with Altman were worried about the direction of the company and the AI safety protocols that Altman was basically starting to ignore in order to further grow the company. That's what has gotten out there, but it's still untold exactly what it was that you know, rose to the level of the board of directors basically giving Altman the boot. We don't know still to this day. But he came back to the company, and here we are today where OpenAI just, you know, this was last week now. So they basically announced 2 weeks ago, they announced sort of at the last minute that they were going to hold an event before Google's Google I/O event. And, you know, Google and then Microsoft held their own event recently, and both Microsoft and Google had all this AI, you know, future products and features to promote. Once again, stuff that they are promising the world, promising a lot. They're showcasing these video demos, but then they're saying that we don't have anything to show you in terms of it actually being deployed. You can't use it yet. We can't show you real-time, you know, on-stage demos. This is just, you know, who knows if they edited this, put it together by their creative team, and it's not actually the product. It most likely is that to an extent, if not completely that. But long story short, Microsoft, Google, and it's still, you know, it really baffles me that you got search engine and PC conglomerates, huge mega billion-dollar corporations, multi-billion-dollar corporations, basically completely pivoting to AI, ruining their own products in certain aspects with Google search engine and Microsoft just implementing AI chatbots everywhere, from their own search engine Bing to the Microsoft Office suite, to the Windows operating system itself. This is all stuff we'll get into on future episodes in a deeper manner. But, you know, it's worth mentioning here up top as sort of getting us to where we are now. that these companies are, Google and Microsoft, are basically scared by OpenAI. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And they feel the need to totally jump into this AI hype bubble. But anyway, back to the point. So Google had their I.O. event long announced for last week. I believe it was May 14th. And so the week before that, at the last minute, OpenAI says they have an event that they are going to do the day before on May 13th. And so there was a lot of speculation that OpenAI was going to launch a search engine to compete with Google. And Google was certainly worried about that. Their stock got hit by that news. But then it came out that OpenAI was not going to unveil a search engine. They were instead going to unveil a new AI voice assistant. Well, really, a first for OpenAI. It would be their first sort of voice AI voice assistant. Again, this is the company behind ChatGPT, the super popular app, quickest to a million downloads app in history when it launched late last year. And it's an AI chatbot. You talk to it. It spits out information that sometimes is accurate, sometimes is not accurate, sometimes is half accurate, half inaccurate. The whole point, though, is that it's this large language model trained on all this data in order to sound as human as possible. I guess the impressive thing is it could form paragraphs and sentences and not sound totally like a machine, although if you know certain words that and phrases that it seems to fall back on over and over again, you can tell sometimes. But that's what OpenAI is best known for, and now they had a voice assistant, AI-powered voice assistant. So at this event on May 13th, they show off this voice assistant, and unlike Microsoft and Google, they do have an on-stage demo for this voice assistant, meaning the voice assistant was ready to go. It was far enough along where it was an actual product with an actual ability for people to use it, and here we go. Let's jump right into this voice assistant. You know what? Why don't I play a video of this presentation by OpenAI of this voice assistant? Let's pull up just any video here. Give me one second. Let's see what we got here. All right, here is an OpenAI voice assistant demo.
Today, we're going to try something new. I'm going to let you talk to another AI. This AI is going to be able to see the world. It's going to have a camera. I'll be holding it, and so you can direct it, you can direct me to ask questions about whatever you want them to do, but really try to figure out what does it see and ask questions appropriately. How does that sound?
Well, well, well. Just when I thought things couldn't get any more interesting, talking to another AI that can see the world, this sounds like a plot twist in the AI universe. All right, let's do this.
All right, I'm ready please to meet the pause for one moment.
You got it.
All right, you get the gist here. And I got to say, when I first heard this, I thought for voice assistant capabilities, it was sort of impressive in terms of what's out there on the market. It does sound more conversational, for example, in terms of the tone and the flow of the voice. You know, it has sort of the ability to showcase emotions and emphasize certain words based on where they're placed in a sentence and what's being conveyed. Much better than, for example, Google's voice assistant or Apple's Siri, which is just ridiculously bad, and Amazon's Alexa. But it was also quite clear to me and many other people that this voice assistant sounded kind of similar to something else, right? Like you've heard this voice before in this same sort of capacity. But that's not possible, right? This is OpenAI's big sort of debut, I guess you can say, of this voice at this event. They call this voice Sky. And I personally hadn't seen any other tech company come out with this. So what exactly was so similar about it? Well, you don't really have to guess for long, nor do you need to go to anybody else to sort of guess for you. Because Sam Altman of OpenAI actually wanted people to know exactly what it was reminiscent of and what he was going for. Because Sam Altman, as the event is happening and people are hearing this voice, and some people are also saying, okay, it definitely sounds like this voice. Sam Altman tweets out, her, just her. And if you're unfamiliar, that's a reference to the Spike Jonze film starring Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson in a movie about a man who develops a relationship with an AI voice assistant. And Scarlett Johansson plays the AI voice assistant. And everybody was saying just how much this voice sounded like Scarlett Johansson. And here you have Sam Altman of OpenAI basically confirming that this is where he got the inspiration from for this voice. At least the inspiration. At the bare minimum, inspiration. And he's saying that. That's exactly what he's saying here. Now, the discussion around what this sounded like was so overwhelming that on May 19th, OpenAI randomly posts a blog on their website, a blog post on their website, how the voices for ChatGPT were chosen. Here, let me pull this up on the screen if you're watching the live stream episode. And, you know, it says, we worked with industry-leading casting and directing professionals to narrow down over 400 submissions before selecting the five voices. And let me zoom in here. Voice mode is one of the most beloved features in ChatGPT. Each of the five distinct voices you hear has been carefully selected through an extensive process spanning 5 months, involving professional voice actors, talent agencies, casting directors, and industry advisors. Blah, 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 blah. We're sharing more on how the voices were chosen. And then all of a sudden, how many paragraphs down? 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs down. Under the "we support the creative community and collaborated with the voice acting industry," H2 subheader. There's a paragraph that says, we believe that AI voices should not deliberately mimic a celebrity's distinctive voice. Sky's voice is not an imitation of Scarlett Johansson, but belongs to a different professional actress using her own natural speaking voice. To protect their privacy, we cannot share the names of our voice talents. Now, when I first read this, I thought that was kind of weird. These are voice actors. I mean, this is the entertainment industry. These are actors. They usually do want their name out there. The reason you don't hear their name is in the case where the company makes them sign an NDA and doesn't want there to be a face to the voice they use. So, you know, I have to assume that in this scenario, OpenAI hired these actors and actresses, if what they say is true, had them sign an NDA and said, you know, this is work for hire. We're paying you. We don't want people, you know, sort of, I guess, like a ghostwriter for a book. We don't want people to know who you are. We're paying you whatever, whatever, for your voice, for this AI, which will be the voice of one of the voices of this AI assistant. This is the job. If you accept, you agree to these terms. I cannot think of a scenario where a voice actor would not want their name out there if they were given the opportunity to do so. But anyway, keep that in mind while we move ahead in this story. So, you know, this is sort of the discussion, like, why did they come out and do that? This is kind of weird. And then Monday, all of a sudden, what was it? Was it Monday? Yes, Monday. OpenAI all of a sudden just removes the Sky voice. Did they put out a statement for that? They did agree to remove the statement. No, that was the statement, the one that I read. That's what they referred people to. The one about Sky's voice is not an imitation of Scarlett Johansson's voice. To protect their privacy, we cannot share the name of our voice talents. But then they end up removing the Sky voice. Excuse me. So now, fast forward to a couple hours later on Monday. And then Scarlett Johansson herself releases a statement. Let's pull the statement up on the screen and I'll read it. Last September, this is Scarlett Johansson. Last September, I received I guess I could have used the Sky voice. I'm sure a version of it's out there to read this for us, but that seems inappropriate based on what's what we're doing. And I do have more clips to play so you could hear it closer. But listen to what Scarlett Johansson has to say, because this is when this came out, I was truly like, wow, like this is even further along than I thought. I thought they just were like, Sam Altman likes the movie Her, maybe, and this is what he wants to sort of have the voice be like. And they probably have plausible deniability. But then Scarlett Johansson comes out with this. Last September, I received an offer from Sam Altman, who wanted to hire me to voice the current ChatGPT 4.0 system. He told me that he felt that by my voicing the system, I could bridge the gap between tech companies and creatives and help consumers to feel comfortable with the seismic shift concerning humans and AI. He said he felt that my voice would be comforting to people. Note that, by the way, when we go back to that point, because that's ridiculous. Scarlett Johansson continues. After much consideration and for personal reasons, I declined the offer. 9 months later, my friends, family, and the general public all noted how much the newest system named Sky sounded like me. When I heard the released demo, I was shocked, angered, and in disbelief that Mr. Altman would pursue a voice that sounded so eerily similar to mine that my closest friends and news outlets could not tell the difference. Mr. Altman even insinuated that the similarity was intentional, tweeting a single word, her, a reference to the film in which I voiced a chat system, Samantha, who forms an intimate relationship with a human. 2 days before the ChatGPT-4 demo was released, Mr. Altman contacted my agent, asking me to reconsider. Before we could connect, the system was out there. So he reached out to her twice. Now, we know. She continues. As a result of their actions, I was forced to hire legal counsel who wrote 2 letters to Mr. Altman and OpenAI setting out what they had done and asking them to detail the exact process by which they created the Sky voice. Consequently, OpenAI reluctantly agreed to take down the Sky voice. In a time when we are grappling with deepfakes and the protection of our own likeness, our own work, our own identities, I believe these are questions that deserve absolute clarity. I look forward to resolution in the form of transparency and the passage of appropriate legislation to help ensure that individual rights are protected. So there's a lot there. First of all, let's mention that end part, because we won't come back to that, but because that's probably going to be an episode for another day where governments will get involved here. Especially now that they're going after celebrities, allegedly, here. I mean, if they could do this to Scarlett Johansson, imagine what they could do to you, or imagine what they've already done to you, just like they've allegedly already done this to Scarlett Johansson. As of right now, she has not filed a lawsuit against OpenAI, but that could change. We'll see. I do think this would be a lawsuit to pursue, honestly. But let's go back to a few things here. So what Scarlett Johansson is asking for, and why I had some sort of clarifiers around OpenAI's claims that they used a voice actress who they just interestingly don't want to name, because this is one of the only voice actresses in the world, I guess, who want privacy and don't want people to know who they are, don't want to be put in the credits. I mean, it certainly has happened in throughout history of actresses, actors, celebrities not wanting their name in the credits because they worked on a project that they are not proud of. But I mean, seems bizarre here. But Scarlett Johansson is asking is the exact process by which they created the Sky voice. So she wants to know, okay, did they actually record a voice actress? Or, and this is a big question here, did they just train their AI system on Scarlett Johansson's voice and have it just actually mimic Scarlett Johansson herself? Now, let's listen to this side by side. I have a clip here of Scarlett Johansson talking, just herself. And then a clip from the movie Her, where Scarlett Johansson voices the AI voice assistant, Samantha. And then another clip of OpenAI's Sky voice. Let's take a listen and sort of try to determine what we're hearing here, right?
I mean, obviously. He still is. Dirty Dancing was like such a formative like part of my youth. I think it was Patrick Swayze and David Bowie in Labyrinth when I was like, oh, sexuality. Like, it was like opened my eyes to like some other thing.
Hello, I'm here.
And now that was Scarlett Johansson, just herself, the actress, in an interview. Here is her doing the voice of Samantha opposite Joaquin Phoenix in Spike Jonze's Her.
Oh. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, actually. It's really nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you too. Oh, what do I call you? Do you have a name?
Yes. Samantha.
Lady, where'd you get that name from?
I gave it to myself, actually.
How come?
Because I like the sound of it. Samantha.
I like to think I have my own unique strengths. I can understand and generate human-like text pretty well. It really depends on what you're looking for in an assistant. What specific tasks or features?
By the way, I should say that this is now OpenAI's Sky voice. Let me rewind again so you could hear.
I like to think I have my own unique strengths. I can understand and generate human-like text pretty well. It really depends on what you're looking for in an assistant. What specific tasks or features are you interested in? I can help you figure out if I'm the right fit for your need.
Now, listen. We can argue whether this sounds like Scarlett Johansson or not. I think there are certainly certain points where it sounds exactly like her. And then there are some moments I've heard from the Sky voice that would just sounded similar to her, but maybe was a different person. And I should say that when AI voices mimic someone else, they don't always get their exact voice down for every sort of emotion being displayed or tone it's sought out for. For example, I've heard the Trump and Biden AI voices. I'm sure some of you have heard. There's various ones out there. Sometimes it sounds like them. For example, if it's trained on a video of Trump or Biden where they're expressing the same exact tone or emotion that you're going for with the AI voice, it'll sound a lot like them. And then if you're going for something that's completely different, like you want Trump or Biden singing a song, it'll sort of sound like them, but not exactly. This could be that. We don't know. This could very well be Scarlett Johansson's voice that they trained their AI model on to be Scarlett Johansson. Or they could have got a voice actress that sounds a lot like Scarlett Johansson. We can argue about that all day. And I'm sure lawyers would argue about that all day. And there would be a lot less to argue about, honestly, if it wasn't for these issues that we have now with OpenAI that we know about. For example, all right, let's go back to the fact. Like, we know for, let's put it this way. We know they're not being truthful here. We know OpenAI is not telling us everything. We know that. Because here's one example. Washington Post tech culture writer Natasha Takou came out after just within the past couple of days with all this happening, saying that she went to an OpenAI demo event in September where they showed her the Sky voice in an early demo for journalists and press of the voice assistant. And she noted, she says, how much it sounded like Scarlett Johansson. And they denied deliberately copying her likeness, Johansson's likeness. But at the same time, even if you're not, like, trying to copy her likeness with another, like, let's say they didn't train her voice, and it's actually a completely separate person, a real person, doing a voice that's supposed to give the feel, the aura of Scarlett Johansson in her. I mean, they come out and say it. Like I said, you have Sam Altman during the demo last week tweeting out her, posting her. They're not trying to hide it. They just didn't think they would get in trouble for it. They didn't think it'd be any big deal. And then when you combine this with things like this, let's pull this clip up. When you have OpenAI CTO Mira Murati, just a few, maybe a month or two ago, in an interview with Wall Street Journal.
What data was used?
Here, let's play this clip. She's asked about, again, she's the CTO. She should know these things. And she's asked what data is being used to train their products. And listen to her answer. And if you're listening to the podcast, she has some amazing facial features where she tries her hardest to look absolutely befuddled and confused by what is essentially a very simple and straightforward line of questioning.
What data was used to train Sora?
Sora, by the way, is OpenAI's yet to be released. They've demoed it. They've showed it off. Well, let me tell you what it is first. It's their AI video product where they're claiming you type in some text and Sora will pump out exactly what you want film video-wise, like moving image-wise. What they didn't mention in their demo was that it was heavily edited in post-production by special effects artists and rotoscope artists to get the exact effect they wanted without telling people in the demo, without telling people in the video what exactly they were watching. But that's, again, another – we get further into that. But just really another layer of OpenAI not being truthful to the audience, to users, to the public. So here is CTO, OpenAI CTO Mira Murati being asked a very simple and straightforward question that every single one of these AI companies should be able to answer. What data is their AI model trained on?
What data was used to train Sora?
We used publicly available data and licensed data.
And what does that mean? Let's find out.
So videos on YouTube?
I'm actually not sure about that.
Okay. Videos from
face. How are you not sure about that? First of all, the face, the facial feature of her really trying to visibly show that she's really trying hard to think. This is something you know. I'm sorry. This is something you know. This is literally how your product works. and you're the CTO. You know exactly. No one's asking the exact, give us the title of all the videos. They're saying what platforms broadly is the data being trained on. You know. And you don't want to tell people, that's why.
From Facebook, Instagram?
You know, if they were publicly available, publicly available to use, there might be the data, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not confident about it.
What about Shutterstock? I know you guys have a deal with them.
I'm just not going to go into the details of the data that was used.
Right,
but that's publicly available or licensed data.
That's the more honest answer there at the very end, even though she's not exactly conveying what she should be saying. They will not share the data with us because very likely they are using your data. Very likely they are training it on the entirety of everything that's out there. Any creative output you've ever put out there, text, audio, visual, they are eating it up and using it to become a multi-billion dollar company without your permission. Straight up. It's very likely what's going on. And they don't want to just openly say that because there's issues there, obviously. And any issues that don't already exist, certainly those legal issues, those policies will change over time to address what's going on here. But back to specifically Scarlett Johansson. Now, again, we know that they haven't been truthful about data and what they use to train their models with. We know via Scarlett Johansson that they tried to get her multiple times to do the voice herself. We know they won't share who did the voice, or if the voice was trained by AI. They're not being truthful about number of aspects there. But on top of this all, it's super clear this is what Sam Altman's been going for, the Samantha voice in her. He shared before, in September of last year, his feelings on that movie. He calls it the greatest movie about artificial intelligence. Here's that clip in an interview at a Salesforce event. Let me just cue it up here.
When you watch all these kind of unusual movies about artificial intelligence, you know, Minority Report or HAL or Her or War Games or all these various things, you know, there's been so many of them, you know, which one is your favorite?
I like Her.
Which part of Her do you look at and go, this is never going to happen?
I mean, a ton of it, but that I think that's not the fair question, because looking back at sci-fi, it's always easy
to... Can you just fill in that last ton, that part that, you know, which part is going to happen, which part do you think will never
happen? Yeah. So I think it's like unfair to dunk on old sci-fi for all the parts they got wrong, and we can cover that. But
this is unrelated, really. This is a side note, but I really want to point out what he thinks is cool to do with creative work that he has no rights to. Don't dunk on it for being wrong about technology that it speculates will have in the future for the purpose of a fictional narrative. That's not cool. What is cool is taking that movie you have no rights to and using it to create something that just impersonates it, copies it outright with no permission and gives no credit even to the original work. That is cool. Let's continue.
Like, that's always true. What's amazing is that people get it right at all. And the number of things that I think Her got right that were not obvious at the time, like the whole interaction model with how humans are going to use an AI, this idea that it is going to be this, like, conversational language interface, that was incredibly prophetic and certainly more than a little bit inspired us. So it's, you know, it's not just like a prophecy, it's like an influenced shot or whatever. But I think this idea that we all have like a personalized agent trying to help us, and we talk to it like we talk to, you know, ChatGPT, that was actually not what most movies thought. If we interacted with an AI at all, it was going to be like robots shooting us or something. But
you think that will be happening soon?
I do not. I do. I realize it like is a compelling movie, but no, I don't. I think, you know, it'd be great for Hollywood to have some new tropes. But yeah, I think her got something deeply right on the interface, and that is no small feat.
It's very bizarre to hear these supposedly extremely smart people just completely not get the point of movies. The fact that her was an inspiration for OpenAI is quite stunning. I mean, the movie, if you haven't seen it, it's about a decade old now. It's not very uplifting. It's not very upbeat. It's very sad and depressing. And the sort of moral of the story is that humans need human interaction. Joaquin Phoenix's character does not get what he actually needs out of this AI voice assistant. The idea that this was seen as like an inspiration, oh, I got to create that product in that movie, is stunning. These guys are clueless. Now, listen. There is precedent here for anyone who's a naysayer and thinks that Scarlett Johansson is just being a bitter celebrity out to get a payday or whatever. I mean, after everything you've heard, they approached her multiple times. You got Sam Altman literally sharing the name of the movie as this demo is happening, on top of everything else I just showed you. There is precedent here. Now, there are two previous cases in the 80s and 90s. One is Bette Midler, who sued Ford, the car company, for over an ad campaign for the Mercury Sable. They wanted to play songs sung by, you know, big artists from the 70s in order to give that nostalgic feel that the ad was going for. They asked Bette Midler to do the song for the commercial. She turned it down. They went ahead and got a Bette Midler voice impersonator to do the ad instead. She sued them because that's her likeness. And she won. The court ruled in her favor. Her voice was being used in an unauthorized manner. It did not matter that it wasn't her voice specifically, like coming out of her mouth, but it was someone very specifically doing a voice impression of her. In the 90s, Frito-Lay had an impersonator, a Tom Waits impersonator, do a commercial singing a song as Waits. He also sued, and he won. He won more than Bette Midler. I believe Bette Midler won a few $100,000, maybe $500,000. He won $2.5 million because Frito-Lay went ahead and hired a Tom Waits impersonator to do Tom Waits' voice in a commercial. Specifically, so people thought it was Tom Waits endorsing or at least working with them to sell a product. You can't do that. Like, this is their likeness. This is who they are, what they have. This is their product. This is their brand. This is how they make money. And a lot of these tech guys don't get that because they don't view creative work as equivalent to their work. Because if it was the other, if it was the equivalent sort of output from them, they would without a doubt go after their company, whatever company was doing it in a lawsuit. If some company was doing ChatGPT or something like that and trying to call it ChatGPT to promote their own product, they would without a doubt go after it, because the whole point is another business is using their likeness, their product, to sell their own. And that's what Frito-Lay did to Waitz. That's what Ford did to Midler. And that's what OpenAI is trying to do with Johansson. If it was close enough to Johansson, which a lot of people, if this many people automatically assumed it was her or it's supposed to sound like her, it seems pretty obvious what they were going for. Even before you have the founder and CEO of the company openly saying that's the case by referencing the movie. You have them trying to use her likeness, that callback to that movie Her, to sell their AI voice assistant product. And they think they'll get away with it. That's why they did it. It's that simple. And these guys, you know, they do it because we're not only in a hype bubble when it comes to AI, but AI has without a doubt cemented its footprint with all the various products and bullshit promises we've seen. AI cemented that footprint in the scam economy. All right, folks. That is the episode for today. If you'd like to support this show, all my shows, everything that I do, please be sure to go to patreon.com/mattbinder to subscribe with a monthly monetary donation. And basically, you make sure this show continues. You make sure my other show, Doomed, continues. You make sure all the shows and content I put out there continue. And you help fund the ability for me to broaden out my content creating abilities and do even more. So patreon.com/mattbinder. You know what? There was a bunch of patrons, actually, who joined over the past week. Let me shout them out really quick. Thank you to NC Sketchy, Andrew S, Lux, Phantom 7K, Jacob D, Cola Addict, Leftist Cajun, and Lucy G. Thank you all so much for becoming patrons. And you could join them at patreon.com/mattbinder. You could also go to youtube.com/mattbinder and subscribe to the YouTube channel where the live stream show is aired and where I upload videos and other content. You can also drop super chats if you're watching the live stream version of this show, and I will read them on air in the second half listener call-in section of the show. What else? You can go to twitch.tv/mattbinder where the live stream is multicasted. You could follow me there. twitch.tv/mattbinder. And you can, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, connect your Amazon account to your Twitch account and you get a free Twitch Prime subscription every month to give to your favorite creator. At no extra cost to you, you get to give some of your Amazon Prime money to your favorite creator so Jeff Bezos doesn't hoard all of your Amazon Prime subscription fees. Be sure to do that. What else? Scameconomy.com for the audio version of the show. You could also check it out at Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't already left a review for Scam Economy, be sure to do so. You could check out my other show at doomedcast.com. And with all that said, I'm going to now go, because I'm doing this live right now, I'm going to go to the second half of the show for people watching the live stream and for Patreon subscribers. All you have to do is stick around, and I will take your calls, read your super chats and questions and more, and we'll have a good time. If you are listening to the free version of Scam Economy on whatever your podcast platform of choice is, this is where I say to you, I will see you all next time on the Scam Economy.